So I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible nearby, open it to James chapter 4. We'll be looking again at verses 13 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Think about what is happening in our nation right now. We have our political leaders at the national level, the state level, the local level. They're in the process of trying to make big decisions. And think about what is just happening throughout our country. People are still getting sick and they're dying. Our healthcare system is trying to find its balance, but it's struggling. The economy is trending downward. Unemployment is going up. And just to read off or to call out those things, it can give us kind of a heavy heart, and understandably so. The message I'm going to share with you today, it's going to take on kind of a philosophical slant, but also I think a hopeful slant. I think for us sometimes, just as regular people and regular citizens, maybe we wonder if our opinions or our voices really matter, if they are being heard. And I understand that. But I want to assure you of something today. If you are a child of God, heaven hears you when you pray. And I love a passage of scripture that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And let me just read this to you. It's a familiar verse to all of us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There are so many verses in the Bible, whether it's the 23rd Psalm or this particular passage out of 2 Chronicles, that really does speak to our hearts, our needs. It reminds us that God is God and we are His people. So with those things in mind, let's listen to the counsel that we find in James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. I'm probably like a lot of you. I enjoy watching movies from time to time. Back in 2015, there was an Avengers movie that came out, Avengers: Age of Ultron. In watching that movie, there's a lot of things that obviously caught my attention, but there were two different characters, one by the name of Hawkeye and the other one by the name of Quicksilver. Through the course of this movie, these two characters exchanged a saying three different times, and that saying was this: "You didn't see that coming." I think that kind of describes where we're at right now as a people and as a world. This past week, I did kind of a research on the timeline for COVID-19. And let me just give you some dates to think about. December 31st, 2019, the World Health Organization reports that there's a mysterious pneumonia that's making people sick in China. Interestingly enough, the source of the pneumonia was unknown at that time, and the people who were speaking about it said they didn't see any evidence of it spreading from person to person. So December 31st. January the 11th, 2020, China reports its first death from the coronavirus. January 21st, we have our first confirmed case of coronavirus in the United States. February 29th was the first date that was given as a death occurring in our country because of the virus. Interestingly enough, sometime after that, they discovered that two people on February the 26th had died with the virus. They were actually the first ones. March 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization declares COVID-19 a pandemic. So just stop there for a moment. And we start hearing the news, December the 31st, we're only into March, we're the middle of the month, basically, March 11th. And in that short period of time, what started out as supposedly just the flu in China had evolved and spread to a pandemic that was worldwide. March 17th, only 6 days later, all 50 states in the United States has one or more cases. March 24th, Japan postpones the Olympics until next year. March 26th, and hear this, March 26th, our country becomes the leading country in the world with the most cases, followed by the most deaths. We didn't see that coming. So back to James for a moment. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. When I think back to January, I wasn't thinking about the coronavirus. I wasn't thinking about it becoming a pandemic. In fact, what I was thinking about, I was talking with Karen about us possibly doing an anniversary trip in March. Our anniversary is in that month, and we've not really had an anniversary trip in that month yet. And so when the calendar turned to 2020, I started thinking and talking with Karen. What if we tried to do a trip? Now, that was an ambitious goal on my part, because Karen was moving into a new job and we were unsure how her schedule was going to go. And needless to say, we were considering Disney as a possible destination. So here we are talking about that in January. As the month was continuing to unfold, I had noticed a conference that was going to be happening in May. That was the National Conference on Preaching. And when I saw the title and I began to read about the different people who were going to be speaking, I was all fired up about that. So I was in the process of making plans. How many of you know that all those plans changed? When our anniversary rolled around in March, we're sitting in here on the couch in our living room and we're watching the video of our wedding. And for our great meal, we're doing a takeout from one of the restaurants in the area that was serving. We sat around and played cards that day. We just literally hung out, and it turned out to be a good anniversary for us, and we enjoyed it, but it wasn't anything like what we planned. How many of you had plans that you were already beginning to put together at the very beginning of this month? And right now, we're at the end of April, and we're all sitting in our homes with a Zoom service. A little bit surprising, isn't it? So, what can we connect this to? I want to take the philosophical route first in talking about this for a moment. We live in a fallen world. I think we know that. But because we live in a fallen world, this is our reality, folks. We live in a world that is filled with inequity and uncertainty. I want to add a verse to the context of this message for a moment. And it comes out of the book of Ecclesiastes. It's chapter 9 and verse 11. I want to read that verse in the Voice translation. I turned and witnessed something else under the sun. The race does not always go to the swift. The battle is not always won by the strong. Bread does not always fill the table of the wise. Wealth does not always accrue to the skillful. And favor is not always granted to the knowledgeable. But time and misfortune happened to them all. I No, that doesn't sound very uplifting to hear those words read, but it gives us one of those reality checks that I think time and time again we need to have. The book of Ecclesiastes over the years has probably become one of my favorite books in the Bible because it just bluntly tells us that life is not always fair and it's not always predictable. And let me maybe explain that in a few ways. When we listen to that verse out of Ecclesiastes, here's a thought that I hope you picked up on. The fastest and the strongest don't always win. I know I made a promise earlier this year that I am miserably keeping, so I'll go ahead and break it again today. Here comes another sports analogy. The fastest and strongest don't always win. When I was jotting that down, I thought about the Buffalo Bills. Back in the 1990s, they went to 4 straight Super Bowls and never won a game. Well, jump forward to 2019. The NBA championship team last year, Toronto Raptors. But they never even get to that finals series if they don't beat Philadelphia in a semifinal series. It's game 7. They're trailing. There's just enough time for one shot to be made. And it's taken by Kawhi Leonard. He's on a baseline. It's not an easy shot. It's a contested shot. And even after he puts the ball up in the air, it just arcs incredibly high. It hits the rim and it bounces and bounces and rolls around until it finally falls in. There is so much time waiting to see if that ball is going to fall in that Kawhi has squatted on the sideline. Team members have come all around him and finally it falls in. And it's just a reminder, sometimes it's not who's the best, who's the luckiest. The fastest and strongest don't always win. Wise people are sometimes poor and hungry. I've known people like that throughout my life. Talented people can go through life unrecognized and unrewarded. Karen and I watch The Voice. I don't know if you guys do or not, but every year, here's a host of new people with incredible talent that anybody you would think would want to have that kind of talent. And yet until this defining moment, in a sense, they never get to the big stage. They are unrecognized and they are unrewarded. Smart people may or may not be able to get ahead in life. Think about this. Instead of being favored, smart people are sometimes sabotaged. Instead of being promoted, sharp people sometimes are reassigned or let go. Probably looking at the group of people who are on our screen, it's either happened to you or it's happened to someone you know. Cronyism, racism, sexism, nepotism, all of these isms, there have been obstacles that have thrown your careers off course. Here's what we learn when we get kind of philosophical about life. Here's what we learn when we take God's word at face value. We can save ourselves a lot of heartache if we'll be more realistic about life, if we'll be more realistic about our own expectations. Last week, I spent a lot of time talking to you about just that almost insatiable desire we have sometimes to be in control. And I just want to touch on that again for a moment, because a week has went by, but I'm sure all of us at one time or another this past week, we've got frustrated because things haven't been going our way. And regardless of what we were doing, things were still just not going our way. So I want to just add a few thoughts to this. Here's a quote by an author. And she says, "You like to claim that you're in charge of the world, but it's as if the world hasn't noticed and it does whatever it pleases in spite of you." I'm going to raise my hand. That's been my experience. I'm sure it's been yours. Here's another author, a lady, and she has this quote. "Control is an illusion, a fact you will learn very fast if you become ill or have things fall apart in some other way. When we understand vulnerability and suffering, as an essential part of being human, our individual fate can be easier to manage. In this time since we've been meeting, and we've been relying more on social media and emails and text, can I tell you that I've had more reports about illness than I have in a long time for prayer requests? Can I tell you that more people than have in a long time have reached out just to let me know they're struggling, they're in a bad place, they want prayer, and sometimes if it's not for them, it's for others? And when I was thinking about that and putting this message together and again being reminded of the uncertainty, the unfairness that happens in our world each and every day. Sometimes it doesn't touch our lives, but sometimes it does. Another prayer came to mind, and it's one that you'll recognize. It's the Serenity Prayer. And just a few thoughts about that. It was actually written, I think, back in the 1930s, maybe the 1940s. Obviously, church groups, religious people picked up and began to run with it. But I think most of us know right now, any program that is a 12-step program, it seems like, uses this particular prayer. It has gained that much traction in our world worldwide, and I'm glad that it has. So I think if we would, and we're not going to do it, but if we turn all of our mics on, we could probably say in unison the way this begins, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Most of us pretty much have those words down and they're memorized. But listen to how the rest of it goes, because I think it is equally important. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting harshness as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. So James reminds us, we don't know what tomorrow holds. The Serenity Prayer advises us, take this life one day at a time. So I started just doing what's pretty natural to me. I'll get a topic, I'll get a subject, I'll find a prayer. And you've probably heard the phrase, kind of like a dog with a bone. I'll just start gnawing on it, pulling at it. I'll start researching it. I'll start trying to figure out, what is this really saying? How does this apply to our lives? All of those different things. And I came across something that was, I thought, a rather interesting list on timeless truths that we could pull from the Serenity Prayer. And I did, again, what I sometimes do. I kind of took those things on that list and I kind of gave them my own spin. And I want to just touch on a few of those with you for a moment. The first one is, acceptance is not laziness. And when I read that statement, and that's the exact quote from that list, it took me back to those opening words. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Sometimes when we think of that word acceptance, it just sort of falls into an unfortunate resignation. But that's not the case. Here's what I want to just point out, and I think we know this, but maybe this will be a good reminder to us. All of us, we've wasted a lot of energy. And by energy, I mean mental energy, emotional energy, physical energy. We've wasted a lot of energy on things that we could not change. So does it mean that we're lazy or complacent? If we accept that reality, I think the answer is no. Because experience teaches us our good intentions and our best efforts, they will not always produce the outcomes we desire. I listen occasionally steal. You guys don't hold this against me. To Hank Williams Jr. And he has a song that I think maybe it was back in the 90s or something too that came out. If it will, it will. And going through this shut-in that we've been in, there's been mornings that I've just needed to put that song on. And I'm going to have to admit it, some of that song is pretty stupid, okay? But some of it just kind of speaks to this reality about learning how to accept things that we cannot change. It says, if it will, it will. And if it won't, it won't. If it does, it does. Yeah, if it don't, it don't. Some days are good, some bad, you know. That's the way it goes. And whether it's a verse of scripture, or it's a song, or it's a prayer, we need to be reminded that we're not in control. There will be things that we're going to have to accept. It doesn't mean we're lazy or complacent. In fact, I think we could give it a positive twist. It really means that we have enough faith to let go and let God. I think sometimes we hold on too long because we're trying to change things that God isn't going to let be changed. And so for us, it's a big step for us to say, I'm going to trust my God. I'm going to let go and let God be God. Here's another one. We need to have courage. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. If we were just slowing down and being honest, we'd have to admit our worst enemies are usually some ingrained habits that we have in our lives. They're not productive. They're not helpful. What do we do with that? John Maxwell, I don't know how familiar you are with him, but he is such a gifted writer. He's such an optimist, and I appreciate that about him enormously. And he has written so much about leadership. God has used him in ministry. I want to share with you a quote that I look at from time to time, just as a reminder of what I'm going to talk about right now. He has said, if you are continually experiencing trouble or facing obstacles, then you should check to make sure that you are not the problem. It takes courage for us to do that. Do we have that kind of courage? It takes courage and it takes determination. If we're going to find a process that we can commit ourselves to that ultimately will bring about change. A few other quotes from John Maxwell. He says it better than I ever could. Life is playing a poor hand well. The greatest battle you wage against failure occurs on the inside, not the outside. Here's another one. A man must be big enough to admit his mistakes, smart enough to profit from them, and strong enough to correct them. And then one other thought about this. Commitment makes you capable of falling forward until you reach your goal. Cutting corners is really a sign of impatience and poor self-discipline. So maybe today you're trying to figure out how to go forward. You're trying to figure out how to keep the balls up in the air. Have some courage. Realize that maybe what God is trying to get across to you, to me, to us, is He's wanting our difficulties and our struggles to open our hearts to a willingness to let Him change us from within. Here's the third one. And I will get to a good one, but I want to give you one more hard one, okay? Hardness really is good for us. We don't think of it that way usually. But the Serenity Prayer actually has this statement in it, hardness as the pathway to peace. Again, I'll give you a music example. And this one is a shocker. I came across an artist a while back by the name of Andy Grammer. And ended up downloading one of his CDs, one of his albums. And I'm listening through it, kind of like the sound, like the feel of the music. And I came across a song that says, "I Wish You Pain." And when I started listening to that song, I just went, "Whoa." And I'm still going to say, every time I hear it, I go, "Whoa." But I understood what he was trying to get across. And this is going to sound extreme, and really, I guess it is, but let's just go out there for a moment. His song opens up with these lyrics. "I hope your doubts come like monsters and terrorize your dreams. I hope you feel the lonely hopelessness because no one else believes. I hope you question whether you ever really had a chance at all." And it doesn't get any better in these lyrics. He says, "I hope your fear is thick like poison. It gets into your blood. I hope you push until you cannot breathe, and it's still not enough." And then you kind of start trying to figure out, where is this song going? And he says, "'Cause I love you more than you could know, and your heart, it grows every time it breaks. I know that it might sound strange, but I wish you pain.'" There are no success stories without a struggle. There's no wins without some losses. Life can be too hard at times. And that's where God comes in, because He tells us He's our fortress. He's our refuge. He's our shelter. Yes, it can be so much. It's so overwhelming that there is nothing anyone else can say or do to give us comfort. But the Bible tells us that God is the God of all comfort. But I do believe, folks, when we hurt and when we fail, when we struggle, God has this uncanny way of giving us the strength we need to make the changes that we need, so that going through what we go through, we actually begin to realize hardship in a fallen world is necessary and good, because it teaches us life lessons that we'll never learn otherwise. I have found out in my life, God puts such a high value on perseverance. And if you break that word down, you'll quickly realize it means just being able to hang in there and to keep on going. It's all about learning how to endure. So yes, hardship can be good. Okay, let me leave on a high note. You're probably like, okay, thank you, preacher. Okay, here we go. Happiness is attainable now and forever. In the Serenity Prayer, it says, "That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen." I think we all know that the Declaration of Independence says, "We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Here's what we get wrong. We try to define happiness by how much money we have, how much influence or power we have, how much comfort or pleasure we have in our lives. But God describes happiness entirely different. I won't delve into it for the sake of time, but I'll just reference it. If you want to get a better understanding on what happiness really is from God's perspective, read the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. They're found in chapter 5. And you talk about something that is counterintuitive, countercultural. That's Jesus telling us what it means to be blessed. And that word blessed means happy and fortunate. It literally means favored by God. And so sometimes I have to go back to the Beatitudes to just give myself a reality check. Do I really understand and know what happiness is? Here's a simple definition, and I'll read it for you. Happiness is found in loving and being loved by Jesus, who gave His life for you and me. Happiness is found in loving and being loved by Jesus, who gave his life for you and me. When we're loving him and he's loving us, we really do find ourselves in a state of mind where there's an inner joy, there's an inner peace, there's a level of contentment that our circumstances cannot destroy. I'm going to read for you in closing 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It comes out of the Voice translation. Consider the kind of extravagant love the Father has lavished on us. He calls us children of God. It's true. We are his beloved children. And in the same way the world didn't recognize him, the world does not recognize us either. My loved ones, we have been adopted into God's family, and we are officially his children now. The full picture of our destiny is not yet clear, but we know this much. When Jesus appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. All those who focus their hopes on him and his coming seek to purify themselves just as he is pure. I still marvel at the examples we see in the Bible. Paul and Silas in prison, they've been beaten and incarcerated, and they're praising God, and they're making such a joyful noise that when an earthquake happens and a jailer is scared that all the prisoners have escaped and he's ready to take his life, when Paul's able to speak up and he says, "We're all still here. Do yourself no harm." The first question that came out of his mouth, "What must I do to be saved?" When we have a joy that is unspeakable, when we have a serenity that people can't understand, when there's a contentment and happiness deep down inside of us, regardless of what our circumstances are, God has put us in a position where we're like a light shining in darkness. And the world doesn't understand it, but many times we'll get an opportunity to explain it, and somebody can hopefully find their way to God. I think about people in our church. Some of you, I see your faces or I see your names on the screen. You've got your own testimony because you would be the first one to raise your hand and say, life has not been easy, but you have found the serenity that only God can give. So let me ask you, Tim Keller said it like this: aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. Paul said we should set our affections on things above, not on things of this world. We can enjoy these things. We can care about these things. We can love the people around us as we should. But God has so much more for us. Let's keep all of this in perspective and let's keep looking up, because as a song happens to say, our redemption draws nigh. So Hunsu's going to play again and we're going to take a few moments, and I want you to pray and I want you to talk to your Heavenly Father. Ask him to give you that serenity. Ask him to give you his hope. Whatever you need, keep in mind the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If we pray according to God's will, it's only a question of time. It's going to happen. So let's pray. Thank you.